From KUOW, 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. The average cost of a four-year public college went up by 6% last year. It's now over $17,000 a year on average. Private colleges are up over $35,000 a year, beer and MacBooks not included. So how do parents pay for college these days without going broke? How are you paying? 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. It's a toll-free number, 800-289-5869, if you'd like to share your secrets. Or maybe you are going broke. Tell us about it. Write to us, conversation@kuow.org. In a couple of minutes, Cal Chaney, the author of the book Paying for College Without Going Broke, with his advice. But first, one way Washington families have been paying for college is the state-sponsored Guaranteed Education Tuition Program, or GET. You buy a chunk of tuition ahead of time. Carolyn Adolph takes a look at how GET works for one family and why the guarantee of college tuition at a set price has become a budget problem for lawmakers.
Late afternoon at the Westerbeck house, Girl Scout cookie boxes take over the living room and everyone's home.
Hi, I'm Lana.
Lana's 9. Parents Julie and Carrie have been buying GET units for her for 7 years. They started when units cost $70 apiece. They signed a contract to buy 3 years of college at that price. Lana's thinking,
probably Washington University.
Well, that's the University of Washington.
I'm Leah Bia.
Oh, Leah. She's 2. This year, the Westerbecks committed to buying GET units for her. This year's price is $172, more than twice as much as Lana's. Here's Carrie, the dad.
We were just shocked at how much less we got for more money.
But they did it. Leah will have 200 units, enough for 2 years of college. For Julie, the mom, GET was expensive but obvious.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have to get it. It's still a really good deal because it's still going to pay for that year, well, 2 years for Leah, no matter how much the costs go up.
It's not so obvious to other families.
You know, I still couldn't justify the GET.
Jim Carson, father of 2 preteen girls. He looked at GET twice. When his girls were little, he saw one big problem.
The fact that you're buying shares at a price that's much higher than the present value.
GET units are more expensive than the actual cost of tuition. You need 100 units to pay for a year. So that $172 unit price means you're paying $17,000 for a single year of college. But the current price of tuition at UW is under $12,000 a year. Carson decided GET units cost too much. He put his children's savings into the stock market. When he looked at GET years later, he had a completely different reaction.
Where did I go so completely wrong?
By this time, the stock market crash had socked his children's savings along with everyone else's.
The one assumption I think was that the stock market would continue to appreciate at 7-8% for the long term.
So much for that theory. The crash led to a giant recession and huge increases in state tuitions. Carson's investments recovered, but they couldn't keep up. Still, Jim Carson didn't go to GET. Why? Well, the units got way more expensive. Between that
and an increase in the age of my kids, you know, there was no way I'd be able to realize that value.
The program is really designed for young families with very young children.
That's Betty Lochner, director of the GET program. She says parents of teens and preteens do need to think it through if they're buying units at current year prices.
You shouldn't expect to use it in less than 5 years at this point. And, you know, that may even get a little bit longer.
There's an enrollment season for GET. It's about halfway done. The number of new enrollments is lagging compared to last year and the year before. Confidence among lawmakers is down, too. They've been staring deep into GET's $600 million funding gap and worrying about what would happen if they ever had to fill it. Betty Lochner.
If the perfect storm happened several times over and the worst came to worst, the legislature would have to come in and make an appropriation.
The fear of insolvency limits the state's options. Every time the state raises tuition, it raises the payout value of GET units, which claws money out of state hands and gives it to parents.
And that's what you're hearing about in the legislature when they're concerned about the program.
The state can't even raise tuition selectively. That's because the highest undergraduate public tuition in Washington is the one that sets the GET prices. If that's a UW engineering degree, then it sets the payout value for all. That's the value guarantee, working against the state and for the parents. Kerry Westerbeck says he's holding tight to that guarantee.
Although I feel like our younger daughter's price is really high, it might look fantastic in 10 years, if the program's still around.
I'm Carolyn Adolph, KUOW News.
So that's how many Washington families pay for college through the GET program, and they're hoping it's going to be around. Maybe you'll use it. How do you pay for college for your kids? The expenses are just skyrocketing. We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW, 800-289-5869. Or write to us, conversation@kuow.org. In a moment, we're going to hear from the author of a book about how to pay for college without going broke. I want to talk to Brad first, though. Brad is listening to us today in Seattle. Brad, how do you pay for college without going broke?
Well, I personally went to the Air National Guard. I was in the military for a while, and although I did get activated and have to deploy, it gave me money to go to college and also a good electronics backup, skill that I've used when the market for my degree has not been so good, which I'm actually using now working at Boeing.
Yeah.
And making $70,000 a year on my backup program. So, which I've also, where I've worked with my degree also through the Department of Agriculture and different things. So,
hey, Brad, how good is that education benefit you get from the military? If you got into a very expensive Ivy League school, if you got into a Harvard or a Yale, would your military education benefit pay for the whole thing?
Well, no, it wouldn't. I don't believe so. My personal one was enhanced a little because of my activation. The guard, just straight weekend guard, is not that beneficial, but I was able to pay for a good – I went to school in Tennessee where I'm from, and it paid for all that, plus my books. And, if you're looking at the high end, I wouldn't think so. But I think there's a good market for a good baseline education at a state school that,
yeah.
Is beneficial. And my wife, she paid for her school, too. And I think it added value to our education to, we didn't spend a lot of time, frivolously.
Right. Hey, Brad, thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate that. My father went on the GI Bill back after World War II, and it totally focused him on college when he went there. That's one way to do it. Cal Chaney is with us. He's the author of Paying for College Without Going Broke, and he helps his clients get financial aid as much as they possibly can. He's the president and founder of Campus Consultants. They're based in New York City. Cal Chaney, what's the answer to that? How much will that military benefit pay towards college?
That depends on the service level, but that can be a valuable option to do that. It's the old GI Bill, and so there are veterans benefits that are available to use for school. And some schools have welcomed veterans back to their campuses. They have special admissions procedures for them. So that's a viable option, but for the majority of people, they're not going to go that route. So there are other options available. And that's one of the keys for families, though, is to understand how to maximize their eligibility for aid. Most people are clueless when they do that, and you need to be aware of some of these options well in advance. For example, with a prepaid plan, or a 529 plan if you're investing in another state's plan, if a grandparent, say, owns that plan for the benefit of the child, there was actually an article today on MarketWatch about grandparents now buying a lot of 529s. That can be a problem with aid when those monies are used to pay for school, because while you don't report the value of the plan that the grandparent owns on the aid form, the dollar value of the funds withdrawn can reduce aid 50 cents on the dollar. So you need to be careful and understand some of these implications and know what you're getting into, especially with a prepaid program like GET, because it's, you're locking into things and it's hard to change them.
Right. Well, I want to ask you a little bit more about that. A lot of folks who've responded participate in the Guaranteed Education Tuition Program. And we heard some lawmakers talking about maybe this isn't sustainable for the state to continue to provide. And in fact, they also said, there's just as good options if you don't go with a program like Washington's Guaranteed Education Tuition Program. Are there? I mean, are there other programs that are just as good?
Well, Washington's one of the few states that only has a prepaid plan. There are other states that have 529 plans, and that's one thing to realize. There are 529 prepaid plans like GET, and 529 plans that are savings plans, where there's not a guaranteed return on the money. For example, California has one. And many of those plans that are not the guaranteed plans are open to out-of-state residents, that you can use them for that funding, and you don't have to go in school in-state. You could use them in your home state. You can use them in other states. As long as the school participates in federal student aid programs, the funds, the money that's increased in value is not subject to federal taxes as long as the funds are used for qualified expenses. So they're good short-term for people. I imagine that GET program, and I don't have stats on this, got a huge influx in the past few years and huge deficits because while the program's designed for younger families, if you were savvy and you realized even though you had a bit of a premium to pay, with the cost going up so much, if you had a child a few years off, the market doing poorly, you couldn't earn much of a return CD, you're getting 0.5% interest, costs are going up that much, they're figuring, well, I'll get X percentage guaranteed, free of taxes, I'll be in the program for a few years, we intend to go to one of these state schools. The prepaid plans can also be a bit of a problem, though, in terms of going to out-of-state schools, private universities, in terms of what happens with the funds, and I'm not sure that would get once the student leaves, start school somewhere else. Do they freeze the amount, or do you keep getting the increases on the units as the student proceeds along to school?
Good points to remember on those programs. Cal Chaney is with me. We're talking about paying for college without going broke. He wrote the book. It's called Paying for College Without Going Broke. So if you've got a question, give us a call, 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW, 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation@KUOW.org. Tiffany wrote, she didn't go broke paying for college because she had a cat instead. That's not the kind of answer we're looking for, but that works for Tiffany. Let's go to Jennifer, who's listening to us today in Ballard. Jennifer, what's your question about paying for college?
Well, my question is, how can I pay down a very large load of debt? I've already worked with the loan companies. I've done all the deferment, all the forbearance options, but I've never missed a payment. And since I've always paid on time, they're not willing to either renegotiate with me or refinance, and my payments are over $1,000 a month. What do I do?
Cal?
Federal loans or just private loans?
The private loans are the problem. The federal loans, I only have 3 years left because the interest rates were really low, and I've been able to pay a little bit extra every month. So those aren't the problem. It's really the private loans that are just killing me.
Right. Well, actually, what you had done probably was not the best thing to do. The federal rate loans were low. That would have been to extend those repayments out, not pay them extra, because those were lower interest rate loans, and pay off the higher rate loans, the private loans, faster. And there, the federal government has provisions where you can extend out repayment for more than the standard repayment period. So that's one of the strategies we cover in the book, is that you always want to pay off the higher interest rate debt first, because that will minimize the amount of interest charges you have during the year. But those private loans, we're also advise families to be very cautious about those because you don't have the flexibility you have with the federal loans. Unfortunately, some people have to take them out, but that's always the key, is pay off the high interest loans first.
Kind of too late for that advice, Jennifer.
Yes. I wish I had understood compounding quarterly interest when I took loans to go to school. That would have been very helpful.
How does anyone get out of high school without understanding compounding interest? It happens. Jennifer, thanks a lot for your phone call. I really appreciate it. Cal Chaney's with me, author of Paying for College Without Going Broke. He's also the president and founder of Campus Consultants, based in New York City. Cal, Claudia wrote to us. She says the biggest unused source of college funding is private scholarships. There are scholarships for every kind of kid, for kids in the Puget Sound area, Washington State residents, etc. And with the internet, it's easier than ever to find out about them. The flip side is that there's a lot of work to do, and parents have to be willing to help, but it is worth it. Are there a lot of sources of scholarships out there that are kind of hard to uncover?
That's not really true, and that's actually one of the big myths out there. There are a number of programs, but outside scholarships represent only about 4% of all the aid available. Those statistics about unused money, unused every year to pay for school, there is unused money. It's normally employer money for employees themselves to further their education and go back to school, not their employees' children. With the internet now, there's so many students applying for these, so you need to be prudent. looking at these awards where it's, you have a marginal chance of getting them, where there are hundreds of thousands of applicants for the program. Some of them, they might, you know, fill up a football stadium and one kid in the stadium gets the award. The competition, for example, Coca-Cola scholarships, about 1 in 50,000. So that's something you want to be aware of with those awards. Also, if you do receive those scholarships and you're eligible for aid, you may not save a penny because the school might just cut your grant money dollar for dollar by the amount of the scholarship that you won. So I'm not saying you shouldn't apply for those, but this idea that there are these millions of dollars or billions of dollars in unclaimed funds every year is simply not true.
Cal, Brad wrote to us. This is the last question. My wife and I both paid for our college on our own. I believe it made us value it much more, so I want our kids to do the same. Where there is a will, there is a way, writes Brad. I don't know when he went to college, but can an 18-year-old today swing college by getting a job and paying for it themselves?
Well, that's much harder to do, and that's sort of an erroneous thought to have. And that's because the cost of college has risen faster than the overall inflation rate, 2 or 3 times. So, for example, in the 1960s, it only took a certain number of days of work to pay for college. That's more than double or triple now. So it's very hard to do that now, to work your way through school, to do other ways to find it out, because the federal government, there are limits to how much student loans a student can borrow in a given year. That hasn't risen so much. That's actually a good point, though, in a way, because if they rose the federal debt limits, there's the argument it's somewhat there's research behind this, the schools just raise their tuitions all the more.
Yeah. Hey, Cal, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you taking it.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me on your show.
Cal Chaney, his book is called Paying for College Without Going Broke. From KUOW, I'm Ross Reynolds.